Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
more news from New Scientist, the 16th of June 2018, page 20. Europe burns palm oil in its cars. Bad news for the rainforests of Malaysia and Borneo. Palm oil use in the European Union rose 7% in 2017 compared to 2016. Global demand for palm oil is driving the clearance of these rainforests to make way for more plantations. The EU consumption grew even as the use of palm oil in food and cosmetics fell slightly. The increase was almost entirely due to the rising use of biodiesel made from palm oil. Around 51% of the palm oil used in the EU is burned in cars and trucks, according to figures from the data company Oil World. Another 10% goes on heating and electricity. Food and cosmetics account for just 39%. EU laws effectively stipulate that the normal diesel must be blended with biodiesels made from vegetable oils. Palm oils is the cheapest kind. Yet the EU's own studies show that using palm oil as a biofuel increases rather than decreases greenhouse emissions. Burning palm oil in cars and trucks to meet Europeans' green energy targets must be the single stupidest thing we do in climate policy, says Lara Biffert of Transport and Environment, which campaigns for a cleaner transport. In January, the EU's Parliament voted to stop using palm oil as a biofuel, but the final decision rests with the European Commission. Elusive whales reveal their secrets in their wakes. We know little about some of the world's largest animals, the elusive beaked whales, but we may soon find out how many species there are by sequencing the DNA they leave in their in their wake. Beaked whales can be 12 metres long, but we rarely see them because they spend so much time up to 3 kilometres underwater. There are 23 known species, including one found in 2016 that has not been formally described. There may still be some new species out there, said Scott Barker of the Hartfield Maritime Centre in Oregon. Much of what we know is from the recording of sounds they make, which are thought to be unique to each species. Some species have never been seen alive, said Barker. His team has now shown that they can identify beaked whale species from the DNA they leave behind in the water. Such environmental DNA is becoming a useful source of data. However, Baker's team is first to use it to identify large animals like whales in the open sea. Whales' DNA can be detected up to 2 hours after the animals swim through. It comes from cells shred when they spout, defecate, or slough off old skin. Whales are pretty leaky organisms, says Baker. So far, the team can sequence only one kind of DNA called mitochondrial DNA. This is enough to identify the species, but not individuals. The study is not yet published, but the team did publish a proof-of-principle study on orcas in April. Acne treatment with no side effects. A novel acne treatment is better clearing pimples and gentler on the skin than existing lotions. Acne begins when Cutibacterium acnes bacteria feed on excess oil in the skin and release inflammatory molecules that cause angry red pustules. Jeffrey Stock at Princeton University and his colleagues wondered if blocking this inflammation could prevent pimples. They tested a new anti-inflammatory compound called SIG1459 with 65 volunteers who had mild to moderate acne. Each participant tried one of three seemingly identical creams, a placebo, SIG1596, and benzoyl peroxide, a common treatment that has often caused skin redness, dryness, and steam. Those using SIG1459 cream saw a 75% reduction in acne severity compared to 56%. One of the biggest advantages in SIG1459 is that it doesn't cause any side effects, says Eduardo Perez of Sigmund Biosciences, a firm developing the cream. That suggests it will be a major improvement for acne sufferers. Sour taste linked to risky choices. Most don't like taking a chance when it comes to out-of-date food, but a study suggests that a mouthful of sour milk might increase your appetite for risk-taking. Marina Orbost of the University of Sussex, UK, and her colleagues looked at how five main flavours affect risk-taking. 70 volunteers sipped a drink of plain water or water flavoured to be salty, sweet, sour, bitter, or umami. Immediately after, they played a video game in which they inflated a balloon by clicking on it. Each click brought a monetary reward, but the pop was wiped out if the balloon burst. Participants who sipped sweet umami flavours seemed to have more conservative strategies, with fewer balloons bursting overall. Those who sipped sour drinks were the riskiest gamblers, clicking 40% more than the sweet drinkers. Orba says she doesn't know why sour flavours might do this, but our sense of taste has been linked to a range of cognitive effects, such as predicting personality traits and influencing our social behaviour and working memory. Just a reader's comment, there's this is an interesting thing, that when they fed bees, they found that they had a change in behaviour, and they actually believe that it's cognitive. But there's another interesting thing. What not to wear? Ethical consumers are increasingly turning against animal products like fur and leather, but plastic imitations aren't guilt-free either, says Alice Klein. At Australia's recent Fashion Week, fur coats were everywhere. Not a single animal was harmed in their making. They were all synthetic. We've never seen this many fashionistas get on board with this particular trend, said Finder, an Australian fashion website. The fad is part of a global backlash against animal-derived textiles like fur, leather, wool and silk last week. The UK's Labour Party pledged to ban fur imports. Driven in part by the growing vegan movement, people are choosing to buy plastic imitations made from materials like polyester and acrylic instead. That may seem like an obvious ethical choice, but plastics come with their own problems. These materials are derived from non-renewable petroleum, don't biodegrade, and can shed harmful microfibers into the ocean. We've got to these two uber issues, animal welfare and overconsumption of plastic, that are coming up against each other, says Clara Village, a sustainable fashion consultant based in Sydney. On one hand, many people say that exploiting animals for their skin and fur is cruel, so favour plastic alternatives, and the problem could run deeper. A recent investigation by animal welfare organisations PETA, for instance, claim to have found that evidence of Australian shearers kicking, hitting and cutting sheep. On the other hand, proponents of animal-based textiles say their longevity and biodegradability make them environmentally friendly. The International Council of Hides, Skins and Leather Traders Association notes that these materials are based on natural renewable resources. They are also, so are the likes of fur and leather, really better for the environment? To provide some clarity, Sustainable Apparel Coalition, a global collective of environmentally minded fashion brands created by the Higgs Materials Sustainability Index, created the Higgs Materials Sustainability Index in 2012. It scores textiles based on the amount of energy, water and chemicals that go into their production, and the pollution and greenhouse gases that result. A higher score means the material is worth to the environment. According to the index, cow leather, for example, is worse than synthetic polyurethane leather, since it scores 161 versus 59. This is because cow farming is a major source of greenhouse gas emissions, and leather tanning uses toxic material. In contrast, kangaroo leather scores 29 because it's made from the skin of wild kangaroo and has no farming-related carbon footprint. One major limitation of the index, however, is that it only evaluates the environmental impact of textiles during their production, says Lisa Heenan of the University of Sydney. It doesn't consider how we use the clothes or what we do with them at the end of their life, she says. microfiber mess. For instance, polyester scores more favorably than sheep's wool because less energy goes into its production. But wool coat is ultimately has a smaller environmental footprint than polyester fur because it's likely to last longer and will biodegrade when it's eventually discarded. Once a synthetic jacket ends up in landfill, it's never going to break down, says Hines. Moreover, wool doesn't leach plastic microfibers into the ocean, she says. The environmental impact of such fibers is only just starting to be understood. It began to attract widespread attention in 2016 when researchers of the University of California, Santa Barbara showed that polyester fleece jackets release up to 2 grams of microfibers per washing machine cycle. Each, a team at Plymouth University, UK, later showed a standard load of acrylic and polyester clothes could release more than 500,000 microfibers in a single wash. Since the studies aren't, since these aren't fully removed by water treatment, they can ingest by marine life and damage their digestive tracts. Researchers at the University of California, Davis, recently found that 1/5 of fish sold at their local fish market contained plastic clothing fibers. That means that vegan fabrics, despite being kinder to cows and sheep, are unwittingly be harming ocean creatures, says Haynes. It's a completely messy issue. One option is to wash synthetic clothes in a mesh laundry bag designed to trap loose microfibers. Another is to look for clothing that is both animal and plastic free, says Gordon Renouf, co-founder of Good On You and an ethical fashion app. Several fashion brands are experimenting with the use of faux leather made from plants, for example. UK vegan footwear label Bourgeois Bohème uses Pintex leather, which is made from leaves of pineapple plants. A machine pulls long fibres out of the leaves, which are then compressed and treated to make the material. The texture is more leather-like than synthetic leathers. It's softer and more pliable, says Hazin. 1 square meter of Plinex is made from about 480 leaves, the waste from 16 pineapples. The cost is £18 per square meter, compared with 20 or 30 for the same amount of cow leather. Similarly, German brand Nat 2 just launched sneakers made from mushroom leather, which is much more expensive, selling at £525, $1,000, my God. Screaming, I suppose. The material is extracted from tinder sponge, a fungus that grows in birch trees. The fungus is harvested by hand, dried for up to 1 year, and then peeled by hand. Other companies are trying to grow real leather and fur in the lab so that no animals are harmed. However, some types of clothing, animals, and plastic-free options are hard to find, says Voltech. Your winter coat, for example, is most likely to be made from wool, leather, feather, down, or polyester. Maybe you could go for a thick quilted cotton jacket, but even then, cotton farming typically uses a lot of water and pesticides, says Volchette, which isn't great for the environment. High-tech materials may one day solve these issues, but until then, consumers must choose between animal-derived and synthetic clothes, says Volchette. It really comes down to you and what your values and priorities are, says she says. We're in elephant grease. Maybe you are more moved by animal issues, or maybe you care more about the environmental issues. It's up to you as a shopper to decide what's more important. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.